is that Yaakov in his sleep was learning. Vayikatz Yaakov me'mishna, so he woke up from his learning. Even when Yaakov went to sleep, he was still learning. And the Baal HaTurim on that midrash and on the pasuk says, Mitoch shahaya hoge b'Torah v'yom, since Yaakov toiled in Torah during the day, gam b'layla lo shachav libo, even at night his heart didn't rest, milagos ba b'chalomo, from learning Torah even in his dream. And you should know this isn't something that's specific to Yaakov Avinu, but there are great people in every generation that are so involved in learning that even when they're sleeping, they continue to learn, they continue to come up with pshatim, and Min HaShemayim is also revealed to them pshatim that when they're awake aren't revealed to them. In our Beis Midrash, for example, and this is only one such example, there are a bunch, we have a whole sefer. You heard of Tzaldik HaKohen. You might be by his kever in Lublin. And Rav Tzadok wrote a whole bunch of svarim. One of the svarim that he wrote that we have in our Beis Midrash is called Kuntras Divrei Chalomos, which is basically all the dreams, all the Torah that was taught to him in dreams that he remembered when he woke up, that he quickly recorded. And it's many, many pages long of small Rashi letters. And by each one of them, he writes where he was when he was sleeping, what year it was, what day it was, when he had that dream. And he writes, what I added to this Dvar Torah on my own, I put into brackets. And what's outside of the brackets is what I learned and what I thought of, what was taught to me in my dream. There's a famous story that Shana Becca has probably heard last year. I don't know if Shana Olive heard this yet, but you know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, hopefully you should get to see him this year and next year. You don't have to wait for Torah Shraga to bring you. You could also go on your own. And there's a famous story of Chaim Kanievsky. You know, during the 9 days, you're not allowed to drink wine. But whenever you make a siyum, when you're learning Torah, so you could drink wine. You could drink wine at a siyum. Chaim Kanievsky once took a nap during the 9 days, like 3-4 years ago. The story came out. And after half an hour of a nap, he woke up and he asked his son to bring him a cup of wine. So everyone knows in Reb Chaim's house, he asked for a cup of wine. That means he's making a siyum. But they know his schedule. You know, Reb Chaim Kanievsky every year makes a siyum on Kol HaTorah Kulo. Not just all of Shas Bavli, Shas Yushami, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Mishtaber, everything, Midrashim, Sifra, everything. So, but they know, everyone knows his schedule, and it wasn't time to make a siyum on a Masechta. So they asked him, well, what are you making a siyum on? He says, Masechta's Brachos. Brachos, it's Av. You start learning Shas right after Tainis Bechorim on Erev Pesach. Brachos, you finished a long time ago. You're not up to Brachos now. What do you do during the 9 days making a siyum on Brachos? So he said, in my dream, I just went through all of Masechta's Brachos. And he drank wine on it during the 9 days. In other words, he paskined the halacha that he could drink wine. He actually learned the Masechta, and he's holding it. And Rav Steinman pointed out that he should be healthy. He said that, you know, Reb Chaim has a Kabbalah, a person can only make a siyum when they learn on the level that they're on. So he only made a siyum when he does it with Tosfos. So if he made a siyum, then he said, Lechora, he did it also with Tosfos. Another Reb Chaim story in dreams, he has a grandson that was writing a sefer on Hilchos Melachim in the Rambam. And whenever he would have questions, whenever any of his grandchildren would have questions on this farm that they write, they obviously go to their grandfather to ask him all their questions, or they write him a letter with their questions. So one day, Reb Chaim called his grandson, quickly come to my house, I need you for a minute. And Reb Chaim asked him, he said, are you in the middle of writing me, or did you write me a letter with 100 questions on the Rambam Hilchos Melachim? So his grandson said, no, why is 80 asking? So he said, because I just had a dream, and in the dream I read on a piece of paper 100 questions on the Rambam Hilchos Melachim. So I could sit here and try to remember them and write them down and work them out. But I figured maybe I'm probably dreaming about questions that you're about to ask me or a letter you're going to give to me. So if you already had that letter, it's easier for me than to just sit here and work on remembering the questions if you could just give me the letter. But he said, no, I didn't write such a letter. So he said, okay. So he had to go and sit and remember all the 100 questions on Rambam Hilchos Melachim that he just had in his dream. There's a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Pei Gimel Amud Beis, that says the following. Tane Rav Yosef, my deksiv, what does it mean in the pasuk in Tehillim when it says, Tashas choshech v'hi laila, bo tirmos kol chayto ya'ar. That the darkness spreads out and it's nighttime, and then all the creepy crawly animals come out at night. And he explains what the pasuk in Tehillim is referring to is, what's choshech? Choshech is olam hazeh. Laila is olam hazeh. This world is dark. You don't see, things aren't clear. You don't see the truth. The truth is hidden. And what are the animals that creep out at night, that enjoy the nighttime? They hide during the day, but they come out at night. Elu Rishaim Shabo, Shadomim Lechaya B'Ya'ar. The Rishaim that are similar to the animals in the forest. Meaning, just like animals come out and enjoy the nighttime, because the nighttime is what they like, so too the Rishaim get their pleasure from Olam Hazeh, from worldly, temporary, materialistic pleasures. That's where they get their hana. That's where they get their enjoyment and their satisfaction. They're drawn after the pleasures of this world. The same way that the mashal was at nighttime, the animals come out. The nighttime is like Olam Hazeh, and the animals are the Rishaim. So the Rishaim, what's a Rasha? One that's drawn after Olam Hazeh. How does a person, it's very hard to know, am I a tzaddik, am I a rasha, am I a beinoni, where am I holding on the scale, am I growing, am I falling? So one barometer that one has to ask themselves, I saw in a few different sfarim, is what am I drawn after? What speaks to me more? What am I more excited about? Am I more drawn after and enjoy and the pleasures, temporary pleasures of this world, or are more drawn after spiritual pursuits, mitzvos, Torah learning, chesed, davening? When I eat a meal afterwards, do I more remember what I ate, or do I more remember the bracha that I made before and the bracha achrona that I made afterwards? Which part do I enjoy more, the brachos before and after, or the food part itself? And that shows where it is that we belong right now. What we're more pulled after. Am I more pulled after Olam Hazeh, temporary things? Or am I more pulled after Ruchnius? What speaks to me more? There's a story with the Chazon Ish. Well, I'll give another example, by the way, before the story. When I'm in a shir, am I more into the game and the WhatsApps that are in front of me on my phone? Or am I more trying to hear some words of Torah that maybe that I could hear? And that's also a barometer for where it is that I'm holding. The Chazon Ish, somebody once came to the Chazon Ish very early in the morning to ask him a shaila. And all of a sudden he realized, wait, maybe it's not nice. Maybe he didn't eat yet and I'm disrupting him from eating his breakfast. So he said to the Chazon Ish, this is of Shlomo Lorenz in the book, In Their Shadow, we have in the Beis Midrash, he said to the Chazon Ish, he said, well, wait, did the Chazon Ish eat yet? So he said, I don't know. He said, well, is the Rav hungry? So he said, I feel the same way before I eat and after I eat. So he said, well, how does the Rav know whether to eat or not? So he said, when the Rebbetzin brings me food, it means I didn't eat yet. If she doesn't bring me food, it means I ate already. In other words, he was so disconnected. It was such a side point in his life. The same way that you wouldn't remember, if somebody would ask at the end of the day, how many times did you go to the bathroom today? So excuse me for my mushel, and et cetera. So you wouldn't necessarily remember the details, and you couldn't count that because it was something very unimportant. It was just part of, the functioning of your body. That's how tzaddikim, or people that are drawn more after spiritual pursuits, that's even how they look at the food that they're eating. They enjoy the brachos. They have kavanah in the brachos, but the food is just a matter of functioning of life. That's not the part that's memorable to them afterwards. One of the things that we have to work on is training ourselves to put less of an emphasis and focus on worldly pleasures, even when they're not sinful, but to make them not an end or a celebration in and of itself, and train ourselves slowly, gradually, over time, to make more of a celebration, more of a situation, more of an excitement over spiritual accomplishments, growth in learning, in chesed, in davening, in keeping mitzvos. That should be what puts a smile on our face, what draws us in, what gets us excited, what we're proud of, more than temporary accomplishments that we might have. We're nowhere near, a level of necessarily limiting what it is that we eat and things like that. But what we could be on, you know, is maybe not talking about it so much. You know, sometimes we can go to a restaurant and then for the next, you know, like, first of all, this whole thing of taking a picture of your food and something like that, I don't understand it for the life of me. It's the strangest behavior in the planet. Would you take a picture after you went to the bathroom of what was in the toilet? You wouldn't do that. So why do you need to take a picture of food? I don't get it. So we don't need to make food as if it's like a trophy or an end in and of itself or something to be. It's something that we go out to eat. Yes, we enjoy and we need that and we have a nice time and all that. But not to make too much of an overemphasis that's on it. I think there was somebody. I forgot when it happened. It was this year, last year. One of the guys came over to me. They were so excited. They were learning a lot that week or whatever. I think it's the guy might even be in the room right now. They just had a dream of the Gemara they were learning. And they were just like flying. Or like Chesky told over the story. I hope, am I allowed to quote it? You said it over to the yeshiva. How he dreamt how there was something that you're not allowed to look at. And in his dream, he turned away and went like that. He dreamt of what it is that he's fighting for during the day. Halavai, we should be so invested in our working on ourselves, on our midos, on running after ruchnius, that in our dreams it comes out in that also.